Have you been in business between 3 and 7 years? You're doing between $20,000 and $40,000 per month, up and down, right? It's not really consistent. You feel like, wow, I'm making a ton of money, but I'm not really making money because I don't pay myself. I'm always freaking out about paying bills, and it feels like you're always out of stock in your very best style. Something is wrong. I know I should be doing better. Does this sound like you? Imagine a life where your boutique has consistent, predictable sales, and you get to pay yourself enough to fully replace your salary. No more worrying about what can get charged on your credit card, just pure positive cash flow and easy peasy living. Sky's the limit. Boutique Business Accelerator isn't just good, it's a game changer. Molly really said it best. Emily helped me organize my wholesale business so I wasn't flying by the seat of my pants every day and wondering why I was so exhausted every day. Molly hit $1 million in sales in 2023. That's the reality that my program, Sky's the Limit Boutique Business Accelerator, is offering to you. Think about it. A future where your boutique is a well-oiled machine. No more sleepless nights over inventory nightmares or financial stress. With Sky's the Limit Boutique Business Accelerator, we can grow your sales by 20 to 50% in as little as 6 months. On top of that, you'll finally get to pay yourself what you deserve. Molly, just like you, was drowning in chaos. Now, she's not just organized, she's thriving. As Molly puts it, I'm up 57% in sales, 7% in profit. I took 2 real vacations this year, and I have my launches scheduled a year in advance. These are my results, but I truly don't think it would have happened without Emily and Sky's the Limit. I have to add, Molly only started this program in November of 2022, and this is her growth now, November of 2023. But I don't want to just talk about this. I want to help you act on it. And this is where it gets even better. If you are hearing this right now, enrollment for Sky's the Limit Boutique Business Accelerator is open, and it's at the lowest price available. Seriously, imagine a boutique where you're not just surviving, you're thriving. Your bank account is healthy, and your stress levels are at an all-time low. Don't take my word for it. Hear what a few other people have to say. Rhonda said, I feel more in control of my inventory than ever before, thanks to you and Sky's the Limit. Probably the best investment I've ever made in my business. Part of what Rhonda's not telling you is that in under 6 months, she had reduced her dead inventory by 50%. Ashley also joined us last November of 2022 and was averaging between $20,000 and $24,000 a month, simply selling through her Facebook group. By February, she had jumped to $32,000. By March, was hitting $42,000 a month. That's double what she was doing just a few months before. We didn't do any advertising. She actually launched less days a week. We simply made better buying decisions that fueled her growth. Time's ticking. Your dream boutique is just a click away. You can have results just like this too. Head on over to www.boutiquetrainingacademy.com/skies-the-limit, all one word, and enroll right now. Your 20 to 50% increase in sales in 2024 starts right now. So, Molly, welcome to the podcast. I feel like I don't even need to introduce you because I feel like you're semi-famous in the boutique world, but like, please just tell us who you are and what you do.
Gosh, that is such a weird thing to hear for me. But yes, I am Molly. We're based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Started out as a retailer and online boutique called With Love Molly. And we grew that to a clothing and design manufacturing company. Also still called With Love Molly, just With Love Molly Wholesale now. And that started, the long journey has started probably about 5 years ago. And about 2.5, 3 years ago, we made it into the manufacturing world, which was always the goal for me personally. And I used the retail as sort of the stepping stone to gain awareness about myself, and to build capital because I needed the finances. So, but yeah, we're a women's clothing brand. Kind of caters to more of that city chic sort of vibe, as opposed to, I know like Western wear is super popular right now, but that's not really us. We cater to a little bit different of a demographic than that, which I think is kind of lacking right now, to be honest.
Yeah, you call your brand, like, I don't want to say luxury for less. That's not correct, but yeah. It's like you do offer luxury fabrics in cuts that I think are very, like, not only flattering for a lot of kind of women, but they're comfortable. Like, I just, whenever you post something, I'm like, I want to wear that. Like, that looks cute and comfortable. And that's totally, I feel like, my style.
For sure. I grew up with a lot of body issues just from being in a competitive world with dance. So people are always looking at your body. And I very firmly remember being like 100 pounds soaking wet when I was 21 and not eating, period, because these coaches were telling me that I still need to lose weight. And it's just crazy. So I've never liked the way clothes looked on me. And it's still something I struggle with. So like, it's very important that I feel that the clothes that we make are just made for a woman's body, not a specific woman's body, but like just the woman's body. So I pay a lot of attention to where seams are and how long certain like sleeves are to make everybody feel like they can wear it and not be self-conscious, because I'm like self-conscious every day of my life.
Which I think so many people can relate to. I mean, I think as women, like, I just had a baby and my body changed so much. And it changes in ways you don't expect and don't foresee. And, you know, I joke, I have clothes in my closet from like size 16 to probably size 24, you know, just because of where I've been. But the most important thing, regardless of the size, was just I felt comfortable in it. I felt good in it. I felt like I could show up feeling semi-confident in it, whether or not I was actually confident. I do think that like the clothes you put on your body have a lot to do with how you leave your house.
Absolutely. And I think the biggest compliment that I've ever received, and I've received it multiple times, which makes me feel like, okay, I'm on the right path here, is that it's really hard for boutique owners to find quote unquote cute clothes in curvy sizes. And they feel like a lot of times on Fashion Go or wherever they're looking, whichever vendors, it's just missing the mark a little bit. It's just a little too frumpy. And we don't do frumpy. It's in my neck of the woods. We do not do that. So that has been a really special, really special feedback that I've gotten.
So let's talk about that idea of you switching from like what I would call boutique land to like wholesale land.
Yes, but
like,
I love the word boutique land. I stole it from you too.
Good, please. Someday I have this vision of having like a Candyland like poster or something with like each little stop on the journey. I talked to a designer about it. We never like got to it in our work together, but that's what I imagine. I imagine it being actually like a hybrid of Chutes and Ladders and Candyland. Like it's bright and sparkly like Candyland.
And the game of life.
Yeah, it will like screw you up because you'll literally like climb a ladder up and then you'll be like hit so hard down two levels. You know what I mean? That's entrepreneurship. So that's the way I think about it. But I think that boutique land has such unique challenges. And I think the biggest part of why you have been so successful as a wholesaler is because you're addressing basically every pain point that a boutique owner could wholesaler with, right? Like, talk me through your thinking about just how you run your business and how you're trying to do it differently, really.
Yeah, I think it's also important to note that how I run my business now is not how I ran it when I first started. Cool. And that's also not because of the lack of knowledge or want or like the vision of what I wanted, but it's it's a huge financial investment.
Huge.
So sometimes the things that you want in the very beginning of your journey don't align with the amount of money that you have in your pocket to do that. So we weren't always this way, how we are now. And I remember having some tough conversations with some future potential clients who were like, we love your stuff, but we can't carry it because you only sell in small through extra large, and we don't buy anything that isn't full size range. And I remember saying, like, I get it. And that is my goal. And I really hope and pray that you'll continue to stay in our Facebook group and keep your account open on our website, because I promise you, we are getting there. And I am working so hard to build the capital to be able to do that. And I think it took probably about a year, maybe a year and a half, of just, am I allowed to swear on this podcast? Busting ass.
Yes. We'll do a warning. Yeah.
Just busting ass and putting myself out there and making promises that I knew I was going to keep, not empty promises. So we started out as a pre-pack vendor, 1-2-2-1. That's what we did. One small, two medium, two large, two 1X.
The grade size.
That's how I ran things. And that was what was financially the smart decision for me to start. And it was easy manufacturing wise because my numbers never changed. I always knew I didn't have to figure out a way to get rid of all whatever size wasn't selling. It was easy, but it wasn't what I wanted.
Right.
So we eventually got to where we could do no packs. So we are small through 3X, working on still, like, again, that's not the end goal for me. I am working on getting to a point where we can add extra small and 4X into the mix as well. Not there yet, but we will be.
Hey,
so open pack.
You need somewhere to grow to. You need somewhere to grow to. Yeah. Don't forget that. Yeah.
So all boutique owners, no matter how big or small, they know or are starting to at least learn what sizes sell best for their particular demographic. So like even just yesterday, I had someone who asked me if it was okay if they ordered all extra larges. That's all they needed. I was like, sure, be my guest. Buy all the extra larges. And that really helped them out because they needed a restock in our leggings, but that was the only size that they needed a restock in. And we were able to make it happen and easy. Minimum is very low. We do 4 minimum per style, and you're even allowed to mix and match. So if you want to offer all colors in your store, but you don't have the financial capability of buying 4 of purple, black, white, red, whatever it might be, you know, you can mix and match a little bit. And then I very strongly remember talking to you about this in the beginning, is kind of putting those feelers out there to see what colors and see what patterns work in your store. And that allows smaller boutiques to do that too, is to try one of our styles in just plain black and try it in a printed floral black and see which one kind of works. So I think that's really special. We do pre-orders ready to ship. We even offer, this is the crazy part. I never thought I'd be saying I do this, but every week we do drop shipping specials.
That's crazy.
It is crazy because I don't mean to offend anybody, but I really don't like drop shipping. But I know that it can be very helpful for certain owners. And we're not going to sacrifice style, quality, or anything like that. But I am willing to kind of do what needs to be done to stay relevant in whatever changing market is happening or doesn't happen. So
well, it's really wild.
We do a lot.
It's smart though. I mean, I know that all of those things costs not only money, but time and resources. And yeah. I mean, you have worked so hard because let's be honest, this is pretty much you. And have you hired anyone yet? You've had some people helping, right? But like
back end stuff.
Yeah.
Back end stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But like you're shipping all your packages?
Yeah. I ship everything. Yeah. Yeah. Literally yeah. everything. I'm in the midst of, I'll be done tonight. 3,000 leggings. I don't know what. And I'm still on fire. I don't know how I do it. I really don't.
But it's, you know, it's, you're dedicated. You're dedicated. Yeah. You're growing your business. And frankly, you know, from the outside, you're doing it in a sustainable way where you're really not taking more orders than you can fulfill. You're not, right. you know, you're not over ordering to like pray that someone orders it. You're like doing the math beforehand and right. then figuring out what your minimums are, figuring out what you can offer, making it work. I mean, I think like at the end of the day, you're a great example of someone who will kind of try anything and like try it themselves first to see like, uh-huh. does it work? Will it work? And is it sustainable? You know, I'm a big, I want you to get more help, but I also know.
I know.
No, but I also know like it's hard to trust people in your business and let people in and that sense of control that you have around your quality and like you're just the way you talk about, I want it to be good quality. I mean, that to me shows that you care about your product and you care about your reputation. And you care about your business. That's all I think most boutique owners want. They want to know that like someone cares about them from right. the wholesale side. And I think right. that's a lot of that's kind of gotten missing in how big the industry's gotten and how many people are in it that don't necessarily, it's not that they don't care, but they don't understand the unique pressure that boutique owners have. So even you talking about like, okay, I'll offer some drop shipping, like that's taking a lot of pressure off some boutique owners and you're able to offer that where it's definitely more work for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could get someone through a time where then they are placing a bigger order and you're kind of like funding other small businesses, like micro loan in a weird way.
Yeah, kind of. And that's kind of how I look at it, is that I've been debating going back and forth because drop shipping, in my opinion, as a wholesaler is not sustainable if you're not increasing your prices. So I have been teetering back and forth if people do want to use that, if I increase the price a little bit, because it does take so much more time and effort to now be taking over someone else's business and not just your own. We'll see what happens. happens with that. But there are so many vendors now that I think it's kind of, this might be a very hot take that people don't agree with, but I think there's one thing I'm known for, it's known for my really strong opinions that I don't mind sharing with people. But I think this whole like boss babe mentality, the rise of MLM and influencers and all this has made a lot of people think they can run a business because they see people pretending to run businesses. And that's brought a lot of people into the retail world, the boutique world, the wholesale world, who, no offense, should not be in it. And they're just handpicking clothes from factory websites, marking them up, selling them, and not caring. And one of the platforms that I really believe in, and I think that all boutique owners, period, granted, I'm not a boutique owner anymore, but is that you are not a Macy's. You're not this huge conglomerate. Like, you should pride yourself in being small batch, in high quality, in a specific style, in I don't want to say family oriented, but like that, just that small business welcoming feel. And no matter how much I want to grow my sales and how much my sales do grow, like, at the end of the day, it's really important for me to make sure that I recognize people's names when they reach out to me. I'm not like, who are you? Like, that's icky. And just they know that they're going to get taken care of. Like, it is trusting a vendor takes a lot of work because boutique owners are putting their business, not 100%, but essentially in our hands, and they're trusting us to make sure that. What I always say is my job is to make you look good. Like, that's what I tell everybody. Like, I don't have a retail side. I don't have high margins to piggyback off of if wholesale doesn't work for me with the very low margins. So at the end of the day, like, I have to go to bed knowing that what I did today made your business look good because no one else sees what I do, right? Like, what I do is invisible. It's what the retailers do with my products. So, like, I have to make them look good at the end of the day. That's my philosophy.
Well, and when you speak to the idea that there has been a lot of people coming into the business, whether they are manufacturing like a LuLaRoe, right?
Yeah.
There is a lot of mistrust in the industry amongst, you know, TikTok and LA versus China versus sleep. Yeah. I think that you're right in that we need to bring the warm and fuzzy back into our business.
Yeah.
And we need to know that we want to, I mean, listen, at the end of the day, I was talking to someone about this yesterday, but we're all women helping women for the most part. Now, there's going to be guys watching and whatever this, but hopefully you're you know, with us as women, right? Like, I think that for a lot of us, it's providing each other with economic empowerment so that we are the ones making the decisions. We are, you know, from a business perspective and from a where are we spending our money perspective. We know women are 70% of consumers and they're probably 90% of boutique owners.
Yeah.
So, like, how are we all managing the money in the best way to help each other, like you're saying? I mean, you're right to say that, like, if your boutique owner isn't successful, you won't be either. So it's, I died, honestly, Molly, when I was at Magic. I went into a few booths and, like, some of the vendors laughed when I asked if they had plus size. And I was like,
laughed.
Like, why would we have that?
Oh, wow. Yikes.
I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Like, that's what we're doing in 2024. Okay. Like, it was really weird. So I do think in that situation, I'm so much more likely to work with someone like you who I know is also creating and designing from a space of what would they want to wear. And you're like me. You know what I mean? Right. I think there's a big piece of feeling represented in clothing and clothing manufacturing. And I think you are showing up in representation and providing product for a lot of women who feel like you did or do, right?
And I think even to that point, when you bring up like TikTok and overseas and like Shein and all those companies, one of the reasons that I will venture to say is they have a huge grasp on the curvy market because they have, I mean, I'll be the first to say it, they have really adorable styles. And they're not frumpy, and they will offer it for curvy sizes. So they have captured a lot of that market, and it's silly to me because it is a huge market, and they want cute clothes too, like all of us do. I don't care what size you are. Like, we want to look good and feel good. So we have to bring that market back to us.
100%. I would like to just, I want you to talk a little bit about your biggest challenges in starting the wholesale side, because I think there's other people that would be inspired to start manufacturing themselves. You know, I guess the big piece that I would ask is, like, you know, were you just kind of bootstrapping along the way and slowly growing? And then, like, how did you find manufacturing partners to work with at the beginning, right? Because obviously it might have changed now that you're ordering more. But, like, what was your kind of, like, on the ground work that you did to find the vendors that worked for you?
Yeah, I think there's this really, really, really strange dichotomy that, like, came somewhere along the way in the boutique world where a lot of owners, like you said, have some trust issues, and rightfully so, when trying a new vendor. And there's this strange thing that happens when you first start is that you can't really it's hard to gain new clients because you don't really have a reputation. You don't have much to show for it. Maybe you build a Facebook group like I did and you have 12 members and you have someone reach out to you like I did. And they literally messaged me and said, you only have 12 members in your group. I was like, yes, yes, I do. I only just started building this company like 2 weeks ago, you know? So there was a lot of people who are like, who is this girl? Like, there's no way I'm buying from her. So you have that aspect of it. But then you also have the aspect of the really big boutiques, of course, like they work with really well-known names because they can get a lot of amazing price points because they buy so much. So those owners really, I won't say never, but they're more reluctant to give a small batch designer a chance. But then at the same time, once you start growing, people start complaining that your products are everywhere. And you're like, where's the balance? You don't want to work with me when I'm small and you don't want to work with me when I'm big.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
I'm not even big. I am such small fish and small potatoes, whatever the saying is. I'm not sure. Small French fries. I don't know.
Was that unexpected for you that happened?
Isn't that so weird?
It's so weird. Was it unexpected?
I get. You want to be unique and stand out. And that's my platform is, you know, making sure that I'm providing boutique owners with styles that they can't get everywhere that are on every retail website, foreign and domestic, you know. So it's such a strange, strange thing to have to navigate with like, wait, so people don't want to work with me when I'm too small. But they don't want to work with me when I'm too big either.
Well, and the reality is
super weird.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is the quantities of your orders split amongst the amount of boutique owners that are buying them doesn't feel saturated. Like it couldn't even be saturated because I know your back end numbers. Like you're making a lot. Let's be very clear. But you're not making a lot. Like definitely not nearly as much as someone at Magic is making.
Oh, no, not at all.
And you have even Project or Quarterly when they're still small batches. Yeah, I mean, that's really silly. That's too like a mindset issue for most of us.
Yeah, it is for sure. And like that's kind of, I think, the hardest part is because you're not dealing with the average retail customer. You're dealing with business owners who have different needs and more intricate needs, we'll say. Like it's just, you know. So that has been a really strange thing for me to go through and has kind of played with my mind a little bit. Because I'm like, well, where is this happy medium? But then I'm like, I'm not playing happy mediums for anybody. That's silly. But I'll just never forget that message that I got. And I was just like, oh. But so building trust in that regard is definitely the hardest part, in my opinion. I think getting that first order is always the hardest, but I think that's with any company, regardless, you know?
I mean, that's a huge milestone.
Right. My strong suit, I will say, is keeping customers. My biggest struggle is gaining customers. I know that once I have them, that I will exceed their expectations. But it's just getting to that point first. And again, that's with everybody. With designing, I feel like I did have a little bit of manufacturing, a little bit of a head start because I did go to, like many other people that you work with too, went to the Fashion Institute, graduated from there. So I feel like I did have a little bit of a head start in that regard. Like it wasn't just, I like clothes, I want to make them, you know, it was something that I actually am passionate about and have learned a great deal.
You have like a full education in
right.
In design.
So
yeah,
I will say I did have a little bit of a head start with that. But I think to your point, like the best way, in my opinion, to get started is two things. A, reach out to a vendor that you trust and ask if they would be willing to work with you with custom designs, fully knowing that, of course, that you can't just buy 6 custom designs. Like, it is going to be an investment. You're probably looking at, depending on what it is, anywhere from bare minimum, at least 150 pieces.
Totally.
But that is a great way to get your feet wet, in my opinion, is go to someone that you like their style already. You've already built a relationship with them. Ask them if they'd be willing to do custom pieces for you and kind of learn about the process that way, not asking them, you know, and taking all their trade secrets, but just getting your feet wet into that and really seeing, granted, you're probably only doing 25% of the work while they're doing 75% of the work, but it gives you a good idea of, is this for me? Is this something that I actually am interested in doing without it's a big investment, but not like the hugest of huge investments to just start your own line.
No, truly. The math on like 150 units times 20 pieces, right, is like a couple $1,000s, right? I mean, let's say you had $5,000 to commit to like that. You could buy a style or two, you know, and see what happens. That $5,000, is that a lot of money? Totally. But if you have, like you're saying, you have a customer base, you want to do a custom order, like, to me, it's a worthy, like, investment, I would say, if you have the audience to start testing.
I think it's the safest route to take before, like, diving head first, especially because even when you do go to Magic or anything like that, like, these are brand new relationships. They may not give you the best pricing because they don't have that relationship with you. Like, they just, because they're at a show doesn't mean they're trustworthy. Like, just so we're clear, that doesn't make them trustworthy.
What?
By
people
any
do shady
means.
Business?
I see people all the time getting so crazy about like vendors at markets and all this stuff. And it's like, they paid to be there. Like, that's it. Nobody vetted them. Yeah. That's your job. your job.
Yeah.
So I personally think that if you really want to start designing and manufacturing, is to reach out to maybe 2 to 3 vendors that you already have a working relationship with and just throw the net out there and see what they say. And then learn about it that way and decide down the road if it worked, if it's something you want to keep trying with, and go from there personally.
I love that advice. And honestly, I'll even simplify it because I've gone down this road with a lot of people, like on the back end. I would even say go to a vendor where you have a style that is really hitting with your customer and ask to recolor it. Ask to make it more oversized. You know, like, I think it's great to start with an adjustment to a piece that you already know works rather than saying, I'm going to start with sketches and tech packs.
Right.
I mean, like, that is a whole other realm. And we, you know, that is a possibility down the road, right? But the easiest, like, low-hanging fruit way to start is to recolor something in a custom color that is exclusive to your store, you know, in a style that works. And that could be someone's dipping their toe in
and it's
a wholesale, starting to do wholesale.
It's really smart. I mean, you see Freckled Poppy do it all the time with their YMI jeans and people go nuts for them, right? It's very, very smart because it's something.
And things like that?
Yeah. They have, I see their ads all the time, but they're so cute. But yeah, she has a working relationship with YMI, which is an amazing jean brand. I carried them when I had a boutique. My customers loved them. And they private label for her. They do special colors for her. And it's very, very smart. She sets herself apart. But, I mean, I can't say. I don't know what the back end of that looks like by any means.
Sure.
But it sets her apart. And their manufacturing, it's her name and her whether she picks the colors. I'm sure she does. I mean, I have no idea. I'm just speculating. But
yeah, well, I doubt she's at. I doubt she's at like the fabric mill picking out the fabrics. I'm sure they're coming to her saying, "Here's the four fabrics. Here's the colors you need to do." Exactly. You know, and she, or she's giving them swatches. Here's the colors I like. I mean, I think that's what you're saying, especially. And people will come to you for this. Is like a manufacturing partner, someone who's been through the process before, who can guide you through it. But like you're saying, you know, someone like Freckle Poppy needs to still stay relevant and stay in front of the trend. Uh-huh. So it's a no-brainer to do custom colors and
And with everyone, I think after last year, I think this year is bringing about a lot of people who realize that they need to get back to basics. You know, I think last year was kind of just like a free-for-all shit show for everybody. People were just like grasping at whatever they could. Right. Because we saw this huge boom in online sales because of COVID, because nobody had anything better to do than to shop online. And rightfully so, once the world reopened, people are actually doing things now. It's people are saying, "I wish we could go back to COVID. I wish we could go back to COVID." And it's just like, well, that's not real life. Like, that is not real life. You should never in a million years compare any of your future sales to COVID sales. Like, that was stop doing that. But a lot of people joined the boutique world during that time. They wanted to try it and get extra income, so whether they got laid off or whatever it might be. And so, like I said, people were just trying to catch every apple that fell off the tree and just see if one tasted good, right? But now I think people are realizing the mistakes they made along the way in the past year or so, and they're going back to basics. And they're refocusing themselves on who their audience is, how they can be special, how they can stand out. And customs are an amazing way to do that if it's a smart decision for your business, of course. I had a customer who reached out to me about customs, and we did this gorgeous dress for her. And she was really, really nervous. Now, obviously, my job is not to sell product for them, but I make the product for them, but she's really nervous. She generally sold maybe 50 to 60 pieces per style when they were doing really well. And we ended up making about, I think after all said and done with errors and whatnot, it was like 130, 135 pieces of this dress that we ended up making for. And she was really scared. She sold every freaking one because she would take the pictures I would send her along the way, share them on her page, and talk about the whole experience. And people were rallying behind her. Like, this is so cool. We're so proud of you. I don't even care what it looks like. We're going to buy from you, because she did the front end work to make it work. If she sold every single one, that's crazy. She literally doubled. Not only did she increase her profit because I was giving her a great price break with the amount she was buying, right? So she increased her profit and she doubled the amount that she normally would sell. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Crazy. I mean, imagine she orders one. So here's where my brain goes. Okay. So every quarter you do a dress. So the next quarter, the print changes, but you do the same body. And the next quarter, you adjust the body a little bit and maybe do a similar project. Like, I'm already like, what if she does this every single quarter as like a limited edition thing?
That's special, right? Yeah.
Like, that's an easy way to start. And like you're talking about, build more income in because you have that unique stuff. Mm-hmm. You're becoming your own business coach, Molly.
I am. I know.
You are. You're like coaching your boutique owners inside your wholesale.
Give me 1 year and I'll be like, Emily who? I don't know an Emily.
Right. Exactly. Oh my gosh. No, so much of what you said is I think so inspiring. And, you know, you are so relatable. I think one of the things that I'm interested in this year in talking more about is like, this is for anyone. Like, anyone, like, okay, like you, I'm just going to share, you hit $1 million last year in sales, right? Yeah. Cheering, right?
Clap.
I mean, that was 2023, the year that people were trying all this different stuff. And I mean, I guess the thing for you is like, did you believe, you knew it was always possible for you to hit 1 million?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
There was no doubt.
What do you feel like?
I didn't think it was going to be easy or happen in a year, but I do.
Happen a little faster.
Yeah.
Whoops, we made too much money this year.
No.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking, but that's like, I'm joking. And I also think that it can happen faster than you expect. And it can, like, when you are someone like you who is genuinely putting in the work, genuinely cares, I think the women in my life who I look at who make the most money, I'm like, they're the most deserving because they have worked their tush off for it. Mm-hmm. And they've been freaking smart about every move. And I think for you, like, what do you feel like were some of the big moves you made to like hit that million? Because I know there's people on here that are like, I'm close or I'm getting closer. I can feel it. I can touch it. Like, what were the breakthroughs for you? Because I do think that a lot of us hold ourselves back.
I think the biggest thing for me was, and this is not even a plug. It's going to sound like a plug, but I promise.
I did not set any of this up.
Emily didn't pay me to say this, but in the course that I took with you, when we worked one-on-one and looked at the timing of when I was launching things, and we learned that I was kind of a step behind. So when it wasn't that what I was launching wasn't good and people didn't want it. It's just that I was bringing them in a little too late, which made me not sell as much as I could, because for a lot of my customers, like, the time had already passed for them to successfully bring in that style. So I worked on that a lot, which meant, you know, for me personally, I had to have a few more late nights than I wanted to push some designs further ahead faster, because I learned that I wasn't doing it fast enough, moral of the story. And also taking with that those numbers, because, I mean, I'll be completely honest. I was flying by the seat of my pants. I was absolutely flying by the seat of my pants. Every day I woke up in utter chaos, and it was working, but it was just, I'm making it work every day. And that's just the story of my life. But knowing what to look for, that I was able to hone in on the actual pieces that were my best sellers, or maybe that could have been my best sellers if I brought them in at the right time. And I learned that I learned what styles did best, and I started bringing in more of those. Case in point, like my leggings. I was so scared to launch them, but based off of the information I saw that my loungewear was always doing so good. My luxury tees were always doing so good. Like, all of those things. So I was like, you know what? I am a leggings girl through and through. I wear them every day. Like,
hello.
But I also knew that I like a particular style of leggings. So I stayed true to how I like my leggings to be and what I feel is the most flattering. And I brought them in. And I'll tell you right now, like, I have never had an MOQ so high in my life. My MOQ per color was 1,000. And I have never had an MOQ that high in my life. But I was like, I feel really confident about this. Like, I feel like I did the work. I know my numbers. I learned better. And I was like, I can do this. I can do this. And we have sold. This is insane. Like, I'm going to puke. Like, I actually feel like I'm going to puke. I think we launched them like 5-6 months ago. Like, I actually am going to puke. We sold 10,000. 10,000. Emily, you saw my numbers last year. 10,000. The highest I've ever had, I think, was like 2,800.
Oh my gosh.
And we sold 10,000.
Five times your highest selling thing.
Those single-handedly took me, like, after that, I was like, okay, we did $1 million this year. And that single-handedly, yeah.
From a pair of leggings. Which, let me tell you something. So first of all, I am going to plug. She's talking about Sky's the Limit, Boutique yes. Business Accelerator. It's my highest level program. It's an investment, but like, you're hearing the results, and more people need to hear this stuff, because you're right. We did have a lot of really good conversations about your product and what was working and what wasn't. And where you were in this cycle. I just will never forget. It felt like even just looking at your numbers, you were in this feast and famine cycle where you would like sell a ton and then you drop off and then you'd sell a ton and you drop. And I was like, this is not to say, this is why you feel like crap every morning and why you're anxious all the time and why, like you're just like living on a hope and a prayer, right? Like once we got that schedule down for you, and we saw what was selling. I love that you were like, I'm going to be bold and just sell leggings, which to be really like devil's advocate, like who doesn't already have a bunch of pairs of leggings that they love, you know, like it is like, you know, it is something that if a less educated in their business owner would be more scared of. But you were like, no, I'm not scared.
Yeah.
I know what's selling in my business. And I know this fits the product suite kind of perfectly. Mm-hmm. That's insane. 10,000 leggings. Wait, are they mostly black? That's what I need to know.
Yes. So, yes, of course. Like they are mostly black. We did the first launch, we did black and a really deep, like kind of burgundy brown color for fall. So it was actually very gorgeous. But yes, black did. So we brought black back and then we're doing pink and purple for spring and summer. Purple didn't do very well, if I'm being honest. I have a lot of purple leggings. Anybody wants them? I don't know why, because they're stunning. But I think I do think that once I'm shipping them right now, so people don't have them yet. I think once they try them on, I think they're skeptical because of the color that they think are going to be see-through, and they are not. So I think once people actually put them on, they'll start selling more. Because I think it's just that scared sort of, I don't want my dimples to show through the light purple, but I promise you this fabric is so good. That's why it's a 8 million MOQ.
Well, here's the other thing that you'll learn too. Like the minute that you're like purple didn't sell, I'm like, it should be navy. So anyway, are you running navy for fall? Cause I feel like gray.
I'm working on blues.
Okay. We're going to navy and a gray. Cause the thing about leggings and bottoms in general is after black, people want to buy something really close to black that's not black, but kind of reads like black, because then you can wear it like a few days in a row, or not that you should, but I'm just saying like,
oh, I do.
A purple stands out, right? A purple, you're like, oh, you remember that. It's like, I remember when I sold fleece line leggings, it was always black. Navy, black, gray, and navy were kind of the same. And I always had like a light charcoal navy, which I, the darker always sold better. And then after that was brown. I want to say I had one other color, but I was too scared to sell too many pop colors because black, gray, and navy could just support the whole business. So anyway, just maybe you could do those for fall.
I know. But,
I mean, because here's the other piece of it is, you want to be basic, but you don't want to be too basic. I think that's a big piece of it.
Right.
And at the same time, the hardest part about being a fashion forward, bold dresser is the basics always sell. That's why I'm like, how much, you know, if someone says, oh, I did a t-shirt and it did so well in black, I'm like, did you do it in white? Because black and white are always the best selling t-shirt.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like, it's so silly, but I agree with you that once people get them, they'll come back for reorders. They will.
Yeah.
So,
I knew that I took a risk with the purple, to be honest, but
fine.
I also, in my mind too, it was also like this color is going to, without a doubt, show the quality of these leggings and that they're not see-through and they are, I don't know what you call it. Dimple hiding. We all have dimples. It hides them.
Right. They're dimple camouflage.
I was just kind of like, this will be like a true testament for the people who do buy the purple. They're gonna be like, oh no, wow. Like, of course, black leggings are always safe, but like to know that you wear a purple legging and be snatched. Ooh.
Oh my god, in the gym too. I mean, I feel like that's the coolest part about leggings is you are wearing them as athleisure and you're wearing them to work out too. So good. Leggings. Wow. So do you right now, do you have like all of this year planned out?
Yeah.
Like, I guess, well, what's the thing is, so we have you working farther ahead, but be honest with people that might want to start this is like, really, how far ahead are you in terms of like if someone was to start in April, like what season would they be working on? Where, you know what I'm saying? Like, how far out are you realistically looking?
Sorry. I'm looking at the bottom of my head. April, May, July, August, September. You would probably want to, if you're starting in April, you're going to want to be working on winter for sure. As someone who's just starting, because there's no way in hell that your first samples are going to come and you'd be like, yep, perfect, love it. Like, you don't know what you're doing. So that sample process is going to take a really long time. I mean, it might not, but it probably will.
But plan for time. Yeah. It's good to plan.
Or maybe like the fabric, once it just wasn't exactly what you wanted it to be, or maybe the sizing was off a little bit. Like, there's going to be little tweaks and stuff that take time. So, I mean, if you're for sure, I had a list growing up. I still work on it sometimes. if you are for sure certain that you have like the best design in the world, maybe you could start with fall. If you're like really like, no, this is it. It's going to be a one and done. I'm ready. But I would probably be working on winter.
Yeah. And if you're especially really more time, like spring next year.
Yeah. Especially. And that depends on if you plan on manufacturing in the USA or Thailand or wherever you plan on doing it. But
yeah. I mean, right.
You have to factor in shipping time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you shipping most of your stuff by boat at this point?
So that's the goal this year, is to be so far ahead that every single thing can ship by boat. And I wouldn't say I have done that successfully, but I'm better at it, which is why, you know, I was able to tell you too that my margins have increased, because I'm not decreasing my price because I'm shipping by boat, because I don't have room to decrease price in wholesale. I'm making 5 cents. I mean, I'm not making 5 cents, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, your margins are tight on wholesale for sure.
Very, very tight. So yeah. The ocean shipping is a game changer because it's adding $2 more per item into your profit. So again, same thing. That's why my margins went up, is because my timelines were completely off. And I learned that last year.
So like, you raised your margin. Okay. I want to clarify that for people listening, because
yeah,
it's a really nice example where you're basically saying you're making more money per unit, not because you've raised prices, you've changed quality,
you're selling more.
It's literally,
I mean, I might be selling a little more.
I mean, I think you're selling more, but that's either here or there, because margins will. Margins are just going to affect your profit, right? Your revenue might go up, but we also want your profit to go up. Totally, right? But $2 off every piece, and put that over 10,000 pieces, it's $20,000 in your pocket that you're saving, right? So right off the bat.
I was missing out on last year because I wasn't timing. Because
you were tight. Properly. Yeah. So all we did was shift your calendar. All we did. I mean, this, I like,
right.
You know what I mean? But like, really, all we did was shift a calendar and we're making you $2 more a piece, which I think, honestly, more people need to hear that there are alternative ways to make more profit that aren't just raise your prices, charge what you're worth, like whatever someone out there is saying. Like, there's so many ways to pull more profit out of your business that you probably aren't seeing fully, or like making the connections. And, you know, I just remember like our calls, like I would get on and I was just like, oh, this is the problem. And you were like, oh my God, I see it. But it was like, it was literally like, I felt like you were just stuck in this little timeline. And I was like, wait, hold on.
Right.
We shifted a few things. And I mean, can we also talk about the vacations that you've been on? You've renovated your timeline. I mean,
to your point though, when you're in fight or flight every single second of every single day, you can't see that outside person to come in and just be like, it's right there in front of you. It's literally right there, but you can't see it because you're in the trenches.
Rightfully so, you're in the trenches because you're building a business, and you should be. That's 100%. Like, and I think we've all, even at various stages, right, of our business, we've been in these trenches where we're just like, what are we doing? What, you know? And then someone comes in and says, oh my gosh, like, wake up, you know? Or, hey, look left. You've been looking right this whole time, you know? Like, it looks very different over here. So,
yeah.
I mean, tell me about these. Well, first of all, I love that you're saying, do you feel like you're out of fight or flight for the most part?
I do. Like, yeah, I do.
Because that's a huge shift. I mean, you look physically different, I think, than we started before. Like, it just feels like you're more relaxed.
Yeah. Better late than never.
It's okay. It's a skill. Being relaxed, being calm, it is a learned skill is what I've learned.
I even have time at night to put my sunless tanner on. That's probably why I look so good.
That helps.
Like,
that helps. That's really white girl.
It's not 3 a.m. in the morning and I'm hyped up on 18 bottles of Diet Coke trying to get my life together. Now I'm actually like going to bed at 10:30. I'm putting my skincare on, my sunless tanner. I'm going
love
to Spain and Mexico. All right. There should be a disclaimer that these results are not guaranteed.
Right. Oh, my God. But like two trips, you're more relaxed. You bought a house that you're renovating, which you're like, wait, let me add more stress back in. I got rid of a bunch of stress, but let me just add some back in because it feels safe for me.
My toxic trait.
I love it. I do the same thing. Are you kidding? It's beautiful.
Wait, life is normal? That can't be. Let's change that.
Stir it up a little. Stir it up.
Yeah, for those who can't see, I am sitting on my bedroom floor right now because my entire house has no electricity due to a renovation. And this is the only room in my house that has electric.
We love this, though, but this is, I mean, let's be very clear, Molly. You are an independent dog mom who is buying houses, who is running businesses, who is traveling internationally. I mean, you have a pretty nice life, I'd say, right now. But it's taken five. I mean, it's not overnight success. Let's all, again, I think we've told that story. It's taken you 5, 6, 7, 8 years to get here.
Yeah.
But like, you're here and it looks really good on you.
Thank you. And I don't know who will be listening to this, who knows me and who doesn't know me, but I guess it was probably around 8 years ago that I was like actually homeless. So like I make it a point to say that because I literally never had anything in my life, like period. pretty much homeless twice in my life. Once right when COVID happened because I had a full-time job and I was trying to build my boutique. And they let me go during COVID because it was a restaurant management position and restaurants were obviously going down. They lied and said that I quit, which in their right mind would quit during COVID when you had a job. So I didn't get any unemployment. I had nothing. I used all of my savings that I had built for so long just to be able to pay my rent and survive. And it all got drained because I couldn't get a job. And I was surviving off of the boutique at the time, but with such uncertainty during that time too, with like shipping and all that, like things were just so crazy. That I literally had, I had people bringing me groceries to help me out because I couldn't buy them. Like I moved out of the apartment finally once my lease was up and was staying with people that I shouldn't have been staying with, but I didn't have anywhere to go. So I hope people hear this story and know that I didn't have handouts from parents or, you know, I wasn't born into anything. This was a very hard, hard, hard journey. And that's why I stay up till 3 a.m. working on it because I won't let anything or anyone take it from me. So.
Oh, hell yes. This is it. Like 4 years ago was very different. I mean, like we're right around the 4 year mark to COVID starting. And like for you to say in 4 years, my life has been at like a really, really difficult place to now.
Yeah.
Like you said, you're really not in, you know, fight or flight anymore. You really do feel calm. You really do feel like you've got your back together, even though it was not easy and you took huge risks. Like, you are such a great example of someone who has taken really big risks and they've really paid off.
Thank you.
Trusted yourself. It's hard to trust yourself. It is. You should be so proud.
Yeah. And that's where the fluff stuff comes in. The mindset stuff that I did also work on behind the scenes for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, I'm so proud of you. I will forever have you at the top of my website as the success story that, you know, one of my favorites and one of my just truly, like, I feel like you were also just brought into my life to show me a lot of what's possible and show me, like, I mean, you know, we've talked about this, like, someday I'll have a wholesale company, you know, like, maybe not tomorrow, but, like, it's in my, you know, I have a box of stuff I'm going to make and I have, you know, and I think, like, wholesale is a really big opportunity for a lot of people that, you know, might not right today see it, but they feel it and it's coming and, you know, I think you are such a great example of someone who's just running a really authentic business and doing it, like, growing it slowly, growing it organically, and just, you know, it's just really freaking cool, Molly, that you are doing what you're doing and you're doing it so well. And I just want more people to hear your story because it's not only inspiring, but it also just truly, I hope, that everyone listening realizes, like, it's not an overnight success and it is a lot of late nights and it is a lot of crying and it is a lot of, like, anxious, no sleeping nights. Mm-hmm. And if you keep going in the right direction, like, you'll get there. You'll get there. You have to. I think you have to if you're determined enough, right?
And I can't even say, like, maybe it's just the type of person I am, but I love to learn, and being in the Sky's the Limit class. How long was it? Was it 6 months?
Yeah, 6 months.
Yeah. Like, it was, like, even if I didn't come out of it with anything, which obviously is not the case and would never be the case, but, like, just knowing that I had that meeting on whatever morning it was, like, that enough, like, even just, like, revved me up knowing that. Like, I was always excited for the classes.
You always were, like, the first person to sign on. I think you were the first person to sign up, too. I need to go back and look, but I
still even go into your free classes. Like, I don't even care because just, like, hearing you repeat things that you've already told me, like, and I don't know. There's just something about it. Like, I sign up for all of your free classes for literally no other reason than selfish purposes to just hear you talk. And so I go to bed or finish the day, like, just feeling lively again. I don't know.
it's probably. Well, I love retail, and I hope, and I think this is what you're talking about, is, like, my excitement around retail and people like you, who I see as sort of, like, the future of retail. Like, it does, I have the chills now because there's, like, a couple of you guys, like, my friend Lexi and Kinsey, they called me, like, I saw them at Magic and they're like, we've been telling people you're, like, our big sister, you know? And I'm like, that's it. Like, yeah. I am a big sister in real life, but I also feel like because I have a little more experience than some people like you and Lex and who are kind of out here trying new things, like, I do want you to be excited. And I do see these sparkles in you that I want to encourage. And I want to give you all my best advice because, like, I see the future for you too, you know? And I think that shared vision, like, it's what keeps me going, honestly, those Monday meetings. I'm always like, okay, here we go. Like, we're the next people that are going to be big in the industry. And, like, that for me is, like, it gets me excited because I don't necessarily want to be the next big one in the industry. But, like, the more women I can help and men, frankly, like, grow and have this freedom that you have, like, it's just, it's so close for so many people. It's so possible. And I think, like, that's why I really wanted to have you on the pod because, like, your whole story is, like, incredibly inspiring, but I think also just, you're just like me. You don't have to be some big time special person. Like, you work hard enough, you get the knowledge, you get the education, you partner with good people and you are a good person yourself. Like, things can work out for you, you know, maybe not today, but, like, over time they will. And so anyway, I just think you're, like, a bright shining star in the future of retail.
Thank you. I'm always happy to shine
a light on you.
The industry that we're in is very lonely, if we're being honest. It's dog eat dog. It's lonely. So when you find people that have a spark and get you excited, like, I think that's probably why I do it, is just because I'm like, yes, like, my juices are flowing again, because I'm making sure that I'm surrounded by other people who want the same things, or, you know, all those things. So yeah, that's the mushy part. But thanks for having me.
I love it. Thanks for coming on. This has been so good. And, you know, honestly, like, I will plug your business. Like, I think you make such cute clothes for such great prices. And we have so many of my current, you know, clients that work with you that just are so pleased with everything you do. So, like, if you are looking for a new wholesaler, we can find you in your Facebook group.
Yes, I have a website and a Facebook group. With Love Molly Wholesale is the name of my brand, but you will see it on the internet as WLM Wholesale with Love Molly, WLM. So that's WLMWholesale.com. And the Facebook group is with Love Molly Wholesale. But
I love it. We'll put the links in all the show notes.
Yeah.
Where this goes too, so people don't have to memorize it, but it's good to
hear. I chat a lot too on my personal page. So if you want to follow, you're welcome to do that.
You do. You're like sharing your, you're like an influencer yourself. I'm a little jealous and inspired.
Not really. I don't know how I became kind of cool on the Book of Faces, but.
You're doing it though, girly. Like, you're doing it. So just keep doing it. We're so proud. And like, I can't wait to see this house renovation and what's next. And I mean, the future is so bright for you. And so I'm so proud. Tell me if this is you. You've had your business for 2 years-ish. Maybe it's a brick and mortar. You feel like you're being pulled in so many directions, but your business is moving forward. You're doing great. You're making money. Things are good. And you can't wing it anymore. You've got to get things under control. You don't enjoy feeling all over the place, but that's all you've known as you've built your business. I want to invite you to my latest webinar called Overbought. Overbought is for you if you're ready to break the cycle of overbuying and maximize your profitability. Maybe you're thinking, but Emily, what does profitability have to do with feeling all over the place? You don't have a plan. The plan starts with you analyzing your sales. Once we can see what you've been selling, then the plan for the future, the vision, is very clear. You go to market, you go online, you buy what you need, you sell through it, and your revenue becomes predictable. The new expectation is that you know what's going on. And because you know what's going on, everything around that gets streamlined, including your free time. If you're ready to stop overbuying, maybe you want to fire the company you hired to do your open to buy plan. You want to finally get control of the numbers and feel like you actually understand how the data is going to move the needle in your business. I want to invite you to my free training called Overbought. This is a 90-minute training with me. I'm going to go in depth about how to stop overbuying and what's the process of moving towards ending 2023 with the least inventory you've ever had, the most cash in the bank, and maybe even a vacation. Join me. You can sign up for this class. You need to reserve a seat. It's free though, at www.boutiquetrainingacademy.com/overbought.